Put up John chapter 19, and I'm going to share, give a little review. We got new people here. We've been talking about from the subject faith works. Faith works. In this series, we're putting together this faith puzzle. And we talked about the object of our faith. We've talked about the law of faith. And we're now talking about the perspective of faith. Now, everything I'm teaching now is going to be a review of last week. The perspective of faith can be summarized in three words. And these are the three words that you're going to have to remember in this series. It is finished. Come on, say, it is finished. It is finished. Now, perspective of faith. The word perspective has to do with our viewpoint. It has to do with the way that we see things. It is finished. The word finished means to reach to the end. It means to accomplish a goal, to complete a job, project, or an assignment. If God has done something about your need, then his responsibility has ended and yours has begun. We cannot receive New Testament blessings with an Old Testament mindset. Faith rests in God's finished work. Come on, say, it is finished.
It is finished.
Come on, say, it is finished.
It is finished.
Have you ever wondered why sometimes people who are born again, genuinely saved, no doubt about it, they love Jesus, committed to Jesus, but yet they're not walking in the reality of what the Bible promises? You ever wonder why Christians sometimes die untimely or premature deaths? You ever wonder why Christians can't overcome certain habits and certain addictions? I believe it's because they don't have the right perspective. Come on, say, it's finished.
It's finished.
Now, the question is, what is finished? All this is review. Now, all this is review. What is finished? There's a threefold answer to what is finished. We answered a part of one of the questions last week. We said that number one, God the Father has finished his work in heaven and in earth. God the Father has finished his work in heaven and earth. And we gave two major take-home statements. Number one, we said God does everything first. It's so critical. God does everything first where? In the spiritual world. And then the second major take-home statement, it's God is on vacation. Come on, say God is on vacation. We found out last week that God is on vacation. Amen. He's not doing any work. He's not going to do any work. He's not coming off vacation to heal you or deliver you or set you free or make provisions. He's on vacation. Come on, say God is on vacation. Okay, now, here's the new stuff. Here's the new stuff. What is finished? Secondly, Jesus, the Son of God, has finished his work of redemption. Now, here's good news for you. All the new people, Corey told me that we were able to put on the online the previous lessons. So you can go online. It's free. You can go online and you can catch up with us. So secondly, what is finished? Jesus, the Son of God, has finished his work of redemption. Jesus, the Son of God, has finished his work of redemption. Okay, let's look at that. Look at what it says here in John chapter 19, verse 20. It says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, he's on the cross. He's on the cross. He said, it is what?
Finished.
That's what he said on the cross, right? He said, it is what?
Finished.
It is finished. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. In other words, he died. Now listen carefully what happened here. As a result of the fall of man, Adam sinned in the garden and mankind was introduced to sin and death. As a result of the fall, mankind needed to be redeemed, needed to be bought back. So Jesus was the last sacrifice offered under the old covenant. Now, here's what God did in the old covenant. He instituted a system of animal sacrifices whereby an innocent animal would die for the sins of men. Now, the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. So when sin takes place, somebody has to pay for it. It has to be a death. But God did not want men to die, so he instituted a system of animal sacrifices. So under the old covenant, they would sacrifice animals on behalf of the people. So Jesus was the last sacrifice offered under the old covenant. So Jesus satisfied the claims of the law and ushered in a new covenant. Say, new covenant.
New covenant.
Now, the old covenant was a performance-based covenant. You had to do to be. Do something to be something. The new covenant is a faith-based covenant, which means you believe to be. You believe to be. Now, look over at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. It's up on the monitor. Now, remember, Jesus is finished. Jesus is finished. It says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, now watch the tense, when he had by himself purged our what?
Sin.
The word purge means cleanse. And notice the tense, past tense. He's already done it. When he had purged our sins, what did he do? He sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Now, notice the scripture said that Jesus sat down. I want to ask you, you're the smart class. I can tell you're smart. When I look at you, I can tell you the smart class. Why did Jesus sit down? Come on, talk to me.
Because
he was finished. So God the Father has finished his works. The Son has finished his works. Now, let's look at the Apostle Paul. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Come on, say, it is finished.
It is finished.
Say, it is finished.
It is finished.
Say, it is finished.
It is finished.
Come on, say, it is finished.
It is finished.
Come on, say, it is finished.
It is finished.
Come on, say, it's finished.
It is finished.
Now, listen at this. Paul, the apostle of grace, finished his work of getting to the church the revelation of what God did in Jesus for us. Okay? Paul was given the assignment to get to the church the revelation of what God did in Jesus for us. In other words, Jesus did something in redemption, but the world didn't know anything about it, and the church didn't know anything about it. They knew he died on the cross, but they didn't understand redemption. So it was Paul's assignment to get to the church what God did in Jesus for us. Now, let's see, did he finish? In 2 Timothy 4, 7, it says, I fought a good fight, and I have what? I have what?
Finished
my course, and I have what? So we see that the Apostle Paul was successful in getting to the church the revelation of what God did for us in Jesus. You following me? Now this revelation are what we will call in Christ realities. Say, in Christ.
In Christ.
A big part of walking by faith and living in victory is to know who you are, not in you, but who you are in Christ. Come on, say.
In Christ.
Now, put up 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is going to be very good. Now, we've taken our time to walk through it. It's going to be very good. Now, listen carefully. The in Christ realities are fourfold. Who we are in Christ, where we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and what we can do in Christ. Who we are in Christ, where we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and what we can do in Christ. Now, let me illustrate this, and we're going to look at that in a second. Okay, now let me illustrate this, okay? Now, this is important. How many see this coin I have in my hand? See this coin I got in my hand? How many can see? Wave at me if you see this coin I have in my hand. Okay. How many see my hand? Okay. So I got a coin, I got my hand. This is you. This is Christ. This coin is you. This is Christ. What Paul came to reveal to us is not who we are in us, but who we are in
Christ.
Now, watch this. How many see the coin now? Can you see the coin now? You see my hand, right? And if my hand is Christ, what do you see?
Christ.
Watch this. How many of you born again? How many of you born again? Okay, okay, born again people, look at me. This is what God sees when he looks at you.
Wow. Wow. Amen.
This is how God sees you.
Amen. Amen.
You're never going to walk in a high level of faith until you see yourself the way God sees you. Now watch this. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. The fight of faith that you're in now is Satan wants you to see yourself like this and see Christ like this. As long as you see yourself like this, you're not going to win in life. And so that's what the devil wants to do. He has to get you caught up in you. What the Holy Spirit is endeavoring to do is to get you to see you like this. When you see yourself like this, then you become a terror to the devil.
Yes, sir. My Lord.
Because Satan knows you like this, but he's fighting you in the flesh for you to see yourself like this. And that's why Christians are getting beat, because they're seeing themselves in themselves. I'm going to let that settle for a minute now. I'm going to let that settle for just a minute now. You're in Christ. That's what the redemptive work did. This is the way you were before you got saved. You had to do it in your own strength. You had to do it through your own provision, your own intellect, your own hard work. You had to do it. But you're in
Christ.
Come on, say, I'm in Christ. Come on, say, I'm in Christ. That's how God sees you. And that's how God wants to relate to you. You'll never receive New Testament blessings with an Old Testament mindset. Okay, now let's look quickly at some of these in Christ realities. Now notice what it says. It says, therefore, if any man be what?
In Christ.
That, come on, say, that's me.
Yes,
I'm in Christ. He is a what?
New creation.
All things are what?
Passed away.
Behold, all things are?
New.
Okay. The question is, do you believe that? Are you living in your past? What happened in your past? The addiction you had in your past? The problems you had in your past? Or do you understand that you're new? You're new. You're new. You're new. You're new. You're a new creation. And then we can look at other things. You're the righteousness of God. We can look at other things. You're an ambassador of Christ. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're a priest. You're a king. You're an heir of God. You're a joint heir of Christ. So what do you see? Come on now. What do you see? Really? For real? For real? Not in church. Not in Bible study. But every day, every day, every day, do you see yourself in Christ? Or do you see yourself like this? Okay, let's look at something else. Where we are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Where are we at in Christ? It says, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Verse 6. And has raised us up together. Say together.
Together.
Raised us up where?
Together.
Where?
Together.
And made us sit?
Together.
Where?
Together.
Where?
Together.
In heavenly places where?
Right.
Now look at Ephesians 1. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality. I'm reading too far in it. And far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only this world, but also that was to come. And has put all things under his
feet.
All things under his
feet.
Everything is under his
feet.
And where are you?
In Christ.
Where are you?
In heaven.
You're in heavenly places.
Heavenly
place in who?
In Christ.
In Christ. And all things are under his
feet.
So everything is under your
feet.
Do you believe that? Okay. Do you really believe that it's under your feet? Because if you believe that it's under your feet, you would never say, I'm doing all right under the circumstances. You would never say that. Under the circumstances, I'm doing pretty. Under the circumstances, you would never say that. If you really believe, you would never say, I'm under a little pressure now. You're under pressure? You're under the pressure? You're under pressure? See, the scripture says the pressure's under you. The scripture says the circumstances under you. And I know this is not easy. I know it's not, especially when you walk outside church. See, when you walk outside church, you run into the natural arena. But you're never going to win over the natural arena until you walk into the natural arena knowing who you are and knowing where you are. Watch this now. Because either through ignorance or deception, you're going to agree with the enemy. And that's what he needs you to do. He needs you to agree with him. Because God is saying one thing about you. Satan is showing you something else, and your circumstance is showing you something else. Now, who are you going to decide to go with? Most believers, unfortunately, are going with what they're seeing. Okay, let's find out what we have in Christ. I forgot what the scripture is. You already know me to call it. Okay. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. My fault. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are. All things are. All things are. All things are. Next verse. Whether Paul or Apollos, Cephas or the world, or life or death, things present. That's in the now. Things to come. That's in the future. All are
yours.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that when the bill come in the mail? Do you believe it when you have tuition due? She said, do you believe it for the down payment for the house? Do you believe that all things are? You know, y'all are squirming. Okay, I'm getting some feedback here. I'm getting a little feedback here, but it's good because that means you're thinking. Let's see what we can do in Christ, Philippians. Let's see what we can do. Who we are, where we are, what we have, and what we can do in Christ. Paul says, I can do how many things?
All things.
I can do?
All things.
I can do?
All things.
I can do?
All things.
Through?
Christ.
So you're not dodging anything. See, in high school, I wouldn't take physics. I was smart, but I wouldn't take physics because I didn't think I could do it. So what are you dodging? What is it that you think you can't do? Is anybody out there? Have y'all gone home? I can do
all things.
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 Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe it? How many believe it? Now I wanna close by sharing a couple of texts that I think is going to be very powerful, and we're building on it. Every week we're going to build on this. Once you get the fact that it is finished, you can live a stress-free life. We worry. We get discouraged. We're anxious because we don't know it's finished. Got it? Now listen at this. Let's close out by talking about the key to miracles and manifestations. Okay? I believe God wants to do some miracles. And I believe that God wants his people to have manifestation. Okay, now is time for us to not just talk Bible. It's time for us to demonstrate it. Anybody? We used to say it like this, anybody game? I mean, how many for that? How many for demonstration? Okay, now listen at this statement. The key to miracles and manifestations, would you put Joshua chapter 6 up there? The key to miracles and manifestations is twofold. You have to see it done before you do it. You have to what? You have to what?
See it done before you do it.
You have to what?
See it done before you do it.
Now we're talking faith, aren't we? So we have to see it done before we
do it.
See it
done.
Before we
do it.
See it
done.
Before we
do it.
See it
done.
Before we
do it.
Now look at what it says in Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. It says, the Lord said unto Joshua, now listen what he says and look at the tense. He says, see, I have given, what tense is that?
Past tense.
It's past tense. I have given unto thee thy hand Jericho, the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Now look at verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down. Okay, now that's interesting. Because 7 days prior, God said, I've given it to you. Remember the instructions for those that may not know the story. This wall, Jericho wall, was so thick they said they could race chariots on top of it. So God instructed Jeremiah to walk around the wall, his troops to walk around the wall 6 days, one day, six times, one time for 6 days, and then seven times, 7 days. Remember the story? How many know the story? Okay, and then on the seventh day, the wall fell down flat, right? But in verse 2, 7 days earlier, God said, I've given it to you, right?
Yes.
Now listen at this statement. Listen at this statement. The wall had fallen before it fell. I'm going to let that soak for a second. The wall had fallen before it fell. Right? Because God does everything first. He does everything first. So 7 days earlier, the wall fell. 7 days later, the wall fell. So the wall fell before it fell. So the wall fell in God before it fell in the natural arena. That's the way everything happens. If you understand that, you can live a stress-free life before the wall falls. I'm going to say that again. If you understand that everything is done first in the spiritual realm, before it's done in the natural realm, if you really understand that concept, then even while the walls in your life, the boundaries, the impediments, all the things are saying no,
come on,
you can live a stress-free life. Does that make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? Now, I'm going to show you another illustration and we'll be finished. Now, you can see there's a quality of life mentally and emotionally that Christians should be living. That should be a part of our witness. You see, if we're suicidal, We the family. And we suicide. We nervous. Now, we're not against medication, okay? We don't preach against medication. But let's say we can't live without it. Now, I ain't telling you to get off your medicine. Don't go out here and say, I thought you get out your medicine, because I ain't telling you to get off your medicine, okay? No, but I'm just saying, if we can't deal with life, and we believers, we Christians, we saved, then the unsaved man doesn't have a chance. If you understand this, you can live a stress-free life. Now, let's look at one more illustration. Let's look at one more illustration. Turn to Genesis 22:2. The key to miracles and manifestation is to, number one, see it done before you do it. Got to see it done before you do it. The second key, you listening? Are you listening? Is to believe you have it before you get it. Have to believe you before you. If you wait till you get it, you don't have to believe it. You know it. You have to believe you before you. 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 So in faith, I believe I pass the test before I take the test. Is anybody out there? Okay, look at this. And he said, God said to Abraham, take now your son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Watch this. And offer him for a burnt offering. So God instructed Abraham to offer his son, right? Okay, 3 days later, he got to the mountain, went up to the mountain, was getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. And look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. And Abram lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, what? By his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Look at verse 14. Watch this now. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah, as it is said to this day. To have a manifestation in your life, you have to believe you have it before you get it. Now watch this. Listen carefully. Listen carefully now. Listen carefully. I promise you, most Christians don't understand what I'm getting ready to say right now. But it's going to help you. I know you're going to get it. And we got to get it to do what God wants us to do here. If we don't get it, we're going to be begging. You understand what I'm saying? But God can do something supernatural in the church. Watch this. And supernatural in your life if you get this. Listen carefully. Listen. When God speaks to you about it, it's already done. How many of you got a quiet time? You spend time with God on a regular basis. You got to have a quiet time where you're praying and spending time with God on a regular basis. Now, in your personal life, watch this. In your personal life, when God speaks to you, you can get happy. You can jump up and shout and jump. Because when God speaks to you, it's already done. You got that?
Yes, sir.
Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. When God's, you that came to Faith Chapel and you saw those domes, I was walking across my den and I heard the Spirit of God say, dome, dome. The moment God spoke to me, it was done. It was done. The church here at Columbus is done. It's already. It has everything it need. It's got everything. It's facilities, lands, buildings, people. It's already done. When God speaks to you, you jump up and shout. Because he's speaking to you from his perspective. He's not waiting to see it happen. It always happened first in the natural realm, and then it happens in the spiritual realm, then it happens in the natural realm. So when God says it to you, and you should keep a journal. You should keep a journal. I keep a journal. Everything God says to me, I write it down. Now, once God says it to you, it is done. Now, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. It's going to seem strange. Ram was caught in a thicket, right? This is going to be a strange question. When was the ram born? I'm not looking for any deep thing. I'm just asking you a question. The ram was caught in a thicket. We saw that. The ram was caught in a thicket. When was the ram born? Y'all got to really. You know, I was in a cost accounting class in college one time. I didn't have a clue what was going on in there. I didn't have a clue what was going on there. Y'all got the same look. Okay, it's a simple question. We know the ram had to been born. When was the ram born? Ain't that deep? Ain't that deep? I ain't talking spiritual. When was the ram born? I thought I was going through this, man. Y'all saying I can't be here all night. I got to go back home, y'all. Okay. Come on. Now, when was the ram born? No. See, y'all thinking deep. Y'all thinking spiritual. It was a real ram. When was the ram born? Okay. It was what now? Okay. It was a ram. When was it born?
In the bush.
It was born in the bush. She said a ram was born in the bush. That's the first time I ever heard that. The ram was born in the bush. So in other words, when Abraham reached up there, the ram was born. So what did it come out of his mama's womb or what? Okay. Watch this. Everybody else was deep. This sister is just simple. When was the ram born?
It had to be before he got down.
So the ram, precious people, wasn't born on that same day. We don't know. But watch this. It had to have been born before that day. They can't walk up the mountain. It hadn't been born. So it had to have been born sometime before that day. Right? So that means for provision had been made before God gave the instructions. Before God said, Abraham, sacrifice your son, it was born to die at the hands of Abraham. God had already made the provision before the instructions was given. That's why he's called Jehovah Jireh, because he sees ahead and provide. That's why you have to believe you have it before you get it, because if God said anything to you, he's not making up stuff after he talked to you. When he talked to you, he's already made the provision. Now you got to walk it out. But from his perspective, you'll get this. How many of you mamas, daddies? Okay. When your wife was pregnant, or when you were pregnant, What did you do? Did you wait till the baby was born and then go get a crib and then wait till the born and then go get diapers and wait till the baby was born and then go get everything for the baby after the baby was born? You made provision before the baby was
born.
That's the way God operates. He doesn't talk to you and then he created it. He creates it, then he talks to you. So when God says it, it's already done. If you understand that, watch this now, and you got God's word, you can live a stress-free life. That's why I don't have to worry about the church. I don't have to worry about the church in Birmingham because he told me we're going to be finished. That's settled. I sleep good at night. I don't have to worry about the church of Columbus because he said it. So once he says it, it's already
done.
Okay. Let's let that settle. Let's let that settle. Because we're going to raise up some faith people. Because we're going to be believing for millions of dollars and all kinds of things. And we got to have faith people. We got to have faith people. And there's nothing we cannot accomplish without faith. Nothing.